Colossians chapter 2. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. We're gonna talk about that today. The putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. Can I get a witness on that part? Can I get a witness on that? You're alive in Christ? Hallelujah. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us, and he took it away, nailing it to the cross. We talked about that last week. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Lord, I thank you that you have made us more than victorious in you, Lord, that you are good and mighty and awesome, that you meet us and guide us and direct us in this place, through this place, away from this place, Lord, that we can indeed experience your glory and find your victory in our lives. I pray that you would come this morning, you will work through the translation, that you would bind every distraction, that you would meet us here this morning, and that you would set the captive free. I ask that in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Good to see you, Mr. Juan. My wonderful wife, oh, I thought you were her. My wonderful wife is home, and it is good. She got home, and, it was a busy week doing the lights, doing the soundboard. Friday night, about 10 o'clock, I am ready to go to bed. And I pull out my trusty insulin pump, and it's saying, change sensor now. And it's like, because it takes, I got to charge this thing up. I got to do all this. It takes a half an hour to charge this baby up. And so 10 o'clock, 10:30, I finally get it all done. It's hooked up. It's all connected and talking and squawking and doing all that stuff. And it says, warm up. I mean, I know it's going to do this, but I'm going to tell you what it does. It says warm up. It takes a 2-hour warm up time. And it says, I'll get back to you. And I need to get a calibration. You need to take a blood test. I'm like, okay, great. All right. So it's 10:30 now. Go to sleep. You know, I'm old, man. 10:30 is late for me. And this thing's going, nee, nee, nee. It's like the most fierce cell phone because, I mean, sometimes it's going, you're dying! Wake up! And so it says, okay, I'm ready for my calibration now. And so it's 12:30 at night. I turn on the light, prick my finger, put the blood in. Says, okay, calibrating. Put it back in my thing and go back to sleep. 3:30 in the morning. Goes, I need another calibration. I got a brand new sensor here. I got to make sure that it's accurate. Says, okay, I'm good. 6 o'clock in the morning, says your blood sugar's low. And I literally I just unplugged this thing and set it on my nightstand and said, I'm done. But I gotta remember this thing is bugging me now so that I can live later. Amen? Sometimes we gotta do stuff now so that we can live later. We're in this series called The Fullness of Life. And Paul has been talking to us, to the Colossian church, about how to indeed find this fullness. I've got to put this thing away. I guess I had to hook it up so I don't die while I'm preaching. That would be good. all right, Fullness of Life, a study in the book of Colossians. And this study is focused on fullness in Christ. And that's our purpose in our church. On the sign outside, on the bulletins, we'll say, finding fullness in Christ. And that's what we want for you, that you would indeed find that fullness in your life. Last week, we talked about this. And we looked at Colossians chapter 2. We read most of it. And we talked about some things. I had a couple crosses up here. Some things that the Lord might have us hang on the cross that we could kill, so to speak, in our lives, that we could hang on the cross and have him deal with them. You remember that? It was only a week ago. And I said, you know, that we were going to write that stuff down and we were going to pray on them. And on Tuesday, if you looked at the prayer meeting, I led the prayer meeting and I prayed for all the stuff that was on those cross. And some of you put some people that you wanted us to pray for, and we prayed for them. My question is, did you pray for them? Did you work on that stuff, or was your effort on that stuff just to hang it, set it, and forget it? Because usually it takes a little bit more than that. Can I get a witness on that? So my question is, how was your week? Did you move in victory? Did you move through some challenges? Did you make good progress? Because in all this stuff that we do, we're shooting for a prize. And we want to make sure that you win. Paul has been working diligently, Colossians 1 and 2, for us to get our grip on the fullness of Christ. The reason is, and we talked about this last week, is the Colossian heresy, the lies that were rolling through Colossae that were getting people off track. And I don't know if you realize yet or not, but we got some lies that roll through City Heights that will get you off track. Amen? And so as we can get a grip on the fullness of Christ, what happens is it begins to change how we live our life now. So how was your week? Today, last week we talked about some things that might need to change. Today we're going to talk about stepping into that change. Because sometimes we just need a little bit of a how-to. Amen? Amen. Title of today's message is Stepping Up. And I hope you do. All right, here we go. Your new life is what you make it. If you have shown up today ready for God to do all the work in your life, well, Paul is going to upset your apple cart today because he is expecting you to get some of this stuff done. We're going to spend our time in Colossians chapter 3, and let's start reading the verse 4 verses. Since then what? Since then, all this stuff that you know now about Christ, who he is and what his purpose and plan is for your life, because of all that, and because you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. With new life comes a new focus. I hope that doesn't come as a surprise to you, that what we're trying to do around here is get you a new focus, because you've been raised with Christ. Now, maybe you have not yet been raised with Christ. Perhaps you walk in here totally focused on the world, totally focused on yourself. Well, we're hoping today that you're going to make a shift. Now, perhaps you have made that shift, like Aaron Bugs, give me that hearty amen, said, buy me some lunch, Pastor. All right, we'll do that. We have been raised with Christ. He says, because you have been raised, I want you to set your hearts on things above. And there's more effort that Paul uses here that we don't really capture in all the English. And it really means strive. And it really means strain to move it away from the things of this world and move into the things of God. And he says, it's going to take a lot. He says, I want you to start straining and I want you to start striving, and I want you to continue straining, and I want you to continue striving, because you're never going to get far enough away from the world. And you're never going to get close enough to the things of the Lord until he comes and gets you. Amen? Amen? So he says, strain and strive. And then he talks about, that's your heart. And he says, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on the things of God. And the thing that I have found best equipped for me to focus my mind on the things of God is the Word of God. That you get this book in you, and it will transform how you live and how you think. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, one of my favorite verses, says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in all righteousness, so that the servant of God... Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior today? Let me see your hand. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your... That makes you a servant. And this book will equip you thoroughly, that means well, for every good work. This daily reading log. Get it in you. 20 minutes. It'll take you through the New Testament twice, the Old Testament once in a year. You got questions? We'll put some answers up there every day for you. It's like a pony. It's a Christian pony that you can ride to get you where you need to go. Amen? There's got a bunch of those back there. I made 20 of them. We keep on running out. Take them and use them. Just put it. Mine, I got one a couple years ago, man. Just put it right there in your Bible. And you read that thing. It will take care of you. Now, Christ does more. Christ does more than just change your life. He also changes your future. It says right here that when he appears, we will appear with him in glory. That is not anything you want to miss. We've talked about the rapture of the church, the trumpet call, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we will get all new bodies. See, here's the key. We live now for a prize that comes later. And that prize is glory. Not something you want to miss. Amen? All right, let's continue on. Verses 5 through 7, and dying is part of the plan. Hey, wait a minute, I'm working on living. Okay, you want to live? You got to kill some things. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Right? We're putting a focus on godly things, not earthly things. Tracking with me? Here's a big list. Five things. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the ways, in the life that you once lived. He says, don't walk like that anymore. You've received the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to your account. Time to make some changes. He gives us five things that are associated with the earthly nature, and he says you need to start getting rid of those things out of your life. And it's like pulling weeds out of your garden, pulling weeds out of your front yard, because those things will just, I'll tell you what, I pull weeds for my mom. Anybody? It's Mother's Day. Pull weeds for your mom, right? I mean, it's like you turn around, there's more weeds right there. They just grew up in the last 5 minutes. He says you got to put to death these things. Going to creep back into your life on a daily basis. And he says it is because of these things that most people are going to experience the wrath of God. And we're talking about judgment day. And Jesus says, wide is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way, and few are on it that lead to fullness. Fullness of life that lead to glory. Amen? Amen? All right. So, the list, the don'ts. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Let that list sink in for just a second. My question for you this morning, where are you finding your greatest victory? Some of you have known the Lord for a while and you have been working on finding victory in these areas and putting to death these challenges in your life. I want to know, where is your greatest success? Perhaps you're new to the Lord and some of those don't really impact you that much. It wasn't your flavor of sin, so to speak. Well, it's nice to have victory. Amen? It's nice to have some success. Can I get a witness on that? And you go, look, hey, I got some wins right there. It's nice to have wins. Padres won last night. Got to celebrate the few victories that we got. Amen? All right, we're moving on. Same thing with this, man. You might only have some victory in one of those. Celebrate it and build on it. Amen? All right. Where is your biggest challenge? Where is the enemy of your soul wreaking the greatest havoc in your life? Because that is where you're going to have to put some attention. That is where you're going to have to put some focus, and that is where your biggest challenge lies. That's what you can work on this week as you put it or start putting it to death. Amen? All right. This is tough stuff. This is tough sledding. I see some young men here. I don't see many young, I see some young ladies right there. When I came to the Lord almost 30 years ago, I was a pretty polluted person. And all of that stuff massively impacted me. And I used the Word of God as a way to begin to control my mind. My mind was like a cesspool. My thoughts were evil, but I was 29 when I got saved. First time I looked at pornography, I was 7. Some of my friends hooked me up. Oh, yeah. And so I had all this pollution in my mind, and I'm a new creation in Christ, but I got all this stuff rolling through my head. And I'm going, Lord, how do I deal with this? And I go through to some men's conferences and some stuff, and I talk to some people, and I got some help in this area, and I got great victory in that, but it took me 6 months. And the biggest thing was the memories that would roll through my head. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. And I'd have these images that would come up in my mind. I'd say, I take that thought captive. And I would say it out loud. I would say it out loud so that the devil would know, if he's bringing those memories to my mind, he would know that he is causing me to quote Scripture. And guess what? He doesn't want you quoting Scripture. Can I get a witness on that? He doesn't want you praying. So you start praying, and there's some stuff you don't want them knowing per se what you're praying about. But some of this stuff, because he knew my past and he knew our pollution, I prayed out loud. Said, coming at me, devil, I'm going to start praying. And you start quoting Scripture and you start praying, he's going to start taking some different tactics. Can I get a witness on that? So then, Job 31:1, incredibly powerful text. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. Maybe you've got a situation that you're struggling with and you're a woman, you could substitute man in there. That's fine. I don't think that the Holy Spirit is going to feel disgruntled if you substitute man in there, and that gives you power to have control over your mind and moves you out of lust. Follow me on that? 1 Timothy 5:2, treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with absolute purity. That will keep your mind straight, young men. That will keep your mind straight, young ladies, and old men, and old ladies as well. Why? Because get that text going in your mind talking about purity. Last one, James 5:16. Confess your sin. I'll tell you what, man. I was a little loose on my confession. I would confess everything I did, to everyone I saw. I probably should have shown greater restraint. I mean, men with men, women with men, women, you know. But I tell you what, I was just gushing out all this garbage out of my soul. For 4 months, I was processing these images in my mind all day, every day. And after about 4 months, started slowing down because I get these images. And I just take that captive, take that captive, take that captive, take that. And after about 4 months, it started slowing down. And after about 6 months, it almost stopped. Now, I'll still get those images. They'll pop up, and I just take captive right there, Lord. I take this thought captive. I give it to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, I just ask you to just take this from me. I thank you for your forgiveness, and I thank you for a new life in you. It takes some work, but it will work. And what we got to remember is we live now for a prize that comes later. Amen? Amen? We okay? All right, here we go. All right, got to take out the old to make room for the new. And got another list. Sorry. There's more than one. But now you must also, wait a minute, I thought all this sexual stuff is, no, that's just one list. Rid yourselves also of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. And some of you are going, I thought I was sliding by today in church. Sorry. And do not lie to each other. That's on top. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And you need to watch out how you talk. All these things mostly have to do with what comes out of your mouth. Jesus talked about what comes out of your mouth. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. The things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. These are the things that to defile a man. These are the things that will defile a woman. All right? And so what it does is you take a look at this list, it will identify areas that you need to work on. And what Paul says is, you need to take this stuff off. And it's like taking off a coat. Now, JJ and I went to the Goodwill yesterday. And I put on this coat, and I wanted to show. I mean, it comes up to like right here. It's made for like a little kid or something, you know. And I wanted to, it doesn't fit me. And what Paul says is, this old life, now that you are a new creation in Christ, no longer fits you. And so what you now have to do is you take it off, just like, I wish it was as easy, but just like, it gives you a great image of taking off an old coat that no longer fits. Amen? So, don't list. Number two, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. So where's your victory? Where, you look at this list and you go, yeah, got a win there. Now, you might have been walking with, I mean, I've been walking with the Lord almost 30 years now. And I've got some victory. I'll tell you what, I don't cuss. I used to cuss all the time. And so I got some victory there. Maybe the Lord just give you some deliverance in some areas. And it's good, and you celebrate that. And maybe some areas not so much. So I got that same question for you. Where is your greatest area of challenge on that list? Give you a second, let that percolate down, let it get into Spanish. See, your greatest area of challenge reveals what's going on in your heart. See, we're living now for glory later. And this stuff's going to trip you up. Can I get a witness on that? We're going to come to some solutions on that in just a minute, but I got another question for you. How honest are you? Are you a liar? Some people even lie to the pastor. And you know, I just believe you. Okay, that's what he said. Well, I'll let the Lord deal with it. I'm not going to sweat it. But, we've got to be wise as serpents, harmless and stuff. But, why do we lie? You know, we lie because we're either trying to get away from something or we're trying to get over on something. And the biggest question I got for you, you want your prize now? Or are you willing to wait? Because people who lie, they're looking to get paid now. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, here we go. All right. Let's see what else we got going on here. All right. Some things we need to add. Some good stuff. All right, here we go. There is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is in all, and Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as Christ's chosen people, hope that's you, holy and clear, dearly loved, clothe yourselves, there's a jacket thing going on again, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Just kind of let that percolate in. Starts off with a list of all kinds of people. Everybody's got the equal opportunity. Get that new life in Christ. Because it doesn't matter where you start. It matters who picks you. And Jesus Christ is an equal opportunity picker. Can I get a witness on that? He says, when you get picked, time to put on some new clothes. Take that old stuff off and put on this new cloak that's going to just fit you wonderfully in your new life. And he gives us five things that we need to add on. The do list. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Where are you winning on that list? Some of you, like me, go, oh, I got all that whacked. Yeah. My wife said, what? What? That was a lie from earlier, but I was joking. So you look at this list, and some of you, I mean, my wife's kind and gentle, well, compassion. My wife is high on kindness and compassion. And where are you high on? And where are you lowest on? Where do you need the most work? Where do you have the furthest to grow? Now, I hadn't totally thought this out. But I'm just going to say it the way I was going to say it. See, this is my list. And I made this up last night. And I said in my notes, you can check with my wife on how accurate that is. But I didn't know she would realize she was going to be sitting right there being so vocal today. But I kindness and gentleness, man, that, I got a lot of room to grow. Now, I want to let you know that how far I got to grow, I have grown so much. See, you guys criticize me on how little kindness I have. And I said, you didn't even know the old me. You know, I sit around all day. I think about ways to be kind. And it barely even nudges the meter. I'm working on it. Some of us got a long way to go. Can I get a witness on that? Now, here's why I put my list up there. If I put all my effort on kindness, I might not get the greatest growth. It sounds counterintuitive, because if you pour into the lowest bucket, you know, it's going to fill up the most. for me, I'm looking at this list, I think I could do better by trying to increase my compassion level. And I think as I pour into, I'm just kind of talking out loud right here, as I try and pour into compassion, that the gentleness and the kindness will kind of rise. But if I work on kindness, it's going to be like, you know, kind of trying to break stone, you know. Nothing's happening, Marge. So, all right. Yeah, okay. All right. So, check it out. The don'ts and the do's. These two lists almost fit together. I had the sexual one up there. It doesn't fit. These two fit. Because if you identify in your don't list, your worst problem on your don't list, and you identify your best thing that you got going on your do list, and if you in your mind can say, for example, I got a problem with rage. And rage and anger are tied right in together there. I got a problem with rage and anger. And when I feel that, I'm going to be starting to work on my patience. Man. Right? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to experience my don'ts, and I'm going to try and slide in my do's. And you're going to have varying levels of success. But if you're even thinking about it, you're like, patient, patient. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? And what happens? What? You take a picture? All right. So you see your don'ts, and as you start sliding those do's over, you're going to start getting a focus on heavenly things. And in this, we live today for a prize that comes later. Yeah. Yes. Amen? It's a big deal. It's glory. All right. We okay? Yeah. Being pretty transparent today. I'm kind of glad my wife wasn't sitting on the front row, though. Her anger might have gotten the best of her. Jumped right on me at seeing my list. All right, here we go. Yeah, comedian, almost, no. All right, the further you go, the better it gets. Verses 13 and 14. Bear, everybody say bear. Bear. I'll tell you what that means. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And I want to let you know that some of this stuff you're going to be able to turn over to the Lord. Bearing with and forgiving are two different things. And it's almost like you could for just skip the bearing part and just get right to the forgiving part, because that's such a doozy. Amen? Amen? You bear with someone who irritates you. Oh, I got Dana, okay. You bear with somebody who irritates you. You know somebody like that? William's looking for him. Where is that person? Yeah, you don't need to go touch anybody right now. That's okay. You forgive people when they harm you. Know somebody like that? So if you're irritated, and if you've been harmed, you got an opportunity for growth. Aren't you just happy you came to church today? Hallelujah. All right. Area of forgiveness is a biggie. It's a huge one. Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We go, yeah, thank you, Jesus. But if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. You think, is that really fair? Can God do that? Well, being that he makes the rules, he gets to do that. Now, talking about somebody who has harmed you. We talk about forgiveness, it is not letting them off the hook. What it is putting them on God's hook. You say, God, I'm turning this over to you. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, it is mine to avenge, says the Lord. He says, make some room. God will handle it. And how you deal with it is you say, how I say in my soul, I said, Lord, here's this guy, Fred. I'm turning him over to you. And I literally hand him off. And where before, I'm going, this is what I'm going to do with Fred. Find him, track him. You know how you do that? He's kind of playing with it in your head. Yeah, vengeance, yeah. And what happens? I get all bitter, resentful, angry. Can I get a witness? And so what I do is I take all that in my hands. I get fatigued. I say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Now, I'm going to trust God with it. Wow. And I can move on down the road. It's how we can live with a focus on godly things and things above, because if you can't do that, your heart is always going to be filled with anger, resentment, and vengeance, and bitterness. And you're never going to find that freedom. He says, around all this, you wrap love. All that stuff we've been talking about. Irritation and harm is what keeps back our compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And as we reach through irritation and harm, we can move into love. And it pulls it all together. It's hard. But we're living now for a prize. It comes later. Last thing I got for you. Verses 15 through 17. Talking about God's life being on display in you, in me, in us, in this church, in this world, on this planet. The church is God manifest to those who don't know him. Amen? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You got your eyes set on what is above. You're living for his glory. The peace of God. It is one of the most incredible aspects of this new life in Christ. I came to the Lord. I was 29 years old. I had spent my life striving and straining for me, striving and straining for my victory in experiencing loss after loss after loss after loss. And in my moment of greatest failure, I came to the Lord and I surrendered my life and I literally said, God, you can have my life. I have destroyed it. And in that moment, Jesus gave me my greatest victory. And his peace that surpasses understanding came upon me, and I was a brand new creation in Christ. The peace of God. That's not even the best part. The prize comes later. Amen? We got to live in such a way as to get that prize. We need to get this message of Christ way down deep in our souls. Our thoughts are transformed. Get this book way down in your gut, and your behavior is made new. Your thoughts and your choices and your options in your life are made new. And as we experience this transformation, we begin to experience God's wisdom. It is the wisdom of God, the Holy Spirit moving and directing you. You begin to get some knowledge, and then the Holy Spirit begins to take this knowledge and begins to shape it into your choices and manifests itself in your life. And you go, wow. You ever do that? Man, I just did a God thing there. And it blows you away? Where did that come from? The Holy Spirit in you, guiding and directing, transforming. Let the wisdom of God. I mean, you begin to experience that wisdom, and you begin to bend your heart and your mind to it and say, Lord, I'm moldable in your hand. And as you see that, you start going, whoo, yeah. And you let the thankfulness of God, you know. It's like you're walking down the street. You're skipping down the street, man. You got the joy of the Lord. And you start singing, you start humming. And with that, you have the message. I am a new creation in Christ. And the Lord says, put it out on the street. You be my witness. You have that message of what I have done in you, and you will proclaim my goodness to those around you that don't know me. We live today for a prize that is coming down the road. Glory. Amen? Lisa, you want to come up? We're going to end our time talking about the fullness of God. Stepping up. And you know, I made some lists today. And those are some pretty heavy-duty lists. Even the do list, for me, it's like, kindness? Yeah, she's going, yeah, kindness.
It's tough for all of us.
A lot easier. Well, all right. Here this morning, the Lord's speaking to your heart. He's saying, you're so good. He's saying, there's some stuff that's going on. I want you to be better. You're going to be a better witness for me, but you're going to have more peace. You're going to have a better life. I want you to be better. I wonder what the Lord is speaking to you today. I got these lists, the do's and the don'ts. And as you look at yourself on this list, whatever list you're looking at, and you kind of give yourself a gauge on where you're at, closer to the don't, closer to the do. We all came to the Lord solid in the don't category. Maybe you come this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You come in here just serving yourself and just worried about serving yourself. The thought of compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness and patience is totally and utterly foreign to you. But this morning, the Holy Spirit is speaking right to your heart and says, you're lost. You are lost. I called you into the service this morning so that you would become aware that there are people around you that are found, that you don't have to live lost, that you can be transformed right down in your soul, right down in your gut, and I will begin to deliver you from a life that is bound in sin to a life that overflows with my goodness and my peace. You're here this morning. I want you to just bow your heads with me if you would. And the Lord is speaking to you, and it's really kind of freaking you out a little bit. Freak me out. He said, you're hurting so bad, I'll heal you. You're such challenges all around you, I can guide you through and you can find fullness. That's you this morning, and the Lord is speaking to your heart. And he says, I'll set you free. I'll make you new. You see, that's what I want. I want to be set free. I want to have your life applied to my account. I want to be made new in you. I want to sacrifice my life to you, Lord. I want to find new life in you. With nobody looking around, that's you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, God, I want to be made new. I don't want to be like this anymore. Right back over here and here. Somebody else would say, that's me this morning. Over here, hallelujah. Back here, hallelujah. Over here, hallelujah. You're here this morning. God's talking right to your heart. I know you're afraid. I was afraid. Everybody here is afraid. But he says, you give me your life, and I'll give you mine. Trade. Don't be afraid. You're not inherited a spirit of fear. God's speaking to your heart. You didn't put your hand up before. God's speaking to your heart right now. Jesus is saying, I'll give you my life. You give me yours. You want to make that trade, just slide your hand up quickly. Didn't do it before. Right over here. Right over here. Hallelujah. Right there. Didn't do it before. Somebody else. Didn't do it before. All right. Lord Jesus, I thank you for each person that's here. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you minister in English, Spanish, Swahili, French.